Good morning, Parish. Thank you for being here. The Epiphany season is a season of illumination, of light, light upon truth, signs of good news, of hope. So what is illuminating about today's readings? Many things, but I'd like to concentrate on this overarching, comprehensive Christian concept of metanoia that we began to talk about 2 weeks ago at the annual meeting. Metanoia, the Greek word that's translated as repentance. But we talked about its literal meaning of to change one's mind. It's about change. It's about renewal. It's about this positive, salvific change in our lives. Perhaps a miraculous change. And why miraculous? Because of the fact that much of human existence is about living our lives in spite of a feeling of unworthiness. In spite of a feeling of unworthiness. Now, some people are narcissistic and don't ever feel at all unworthy about anything. I'm not going to name names. But most of us have anxieties, insecurities, and obvious related moments of fear. See what I'm doing here? I'm making you feel good about being unworthy. The point is, fear, anxiety, etc., is often realistic. Some of us are better at coping with these feelings than others. Some of us cope in a way that could be called unhealthy or unholy in addictive ways in order to be able to be more apathetic, removed. But one of the illuminating points of today's reading is that God invites us and indeed calls us to a holy, healthy way of coping. And what's clear is that in order to find the freedom and the liberty that we prayed about in that opening collect today. We prayed, set us free from the bondage of sin. Give us the liberty of that abundant life. In order to be free, we are called to be intentional, to work at it. Because it seems like even when we're in the midst of good stuff, we can bring anxiety and fear to the picture. For example, how many people enjoy nature, the beauty of nature, mountains, right? Hiking, fishing, golfing, walking, what have you. And it seems more and more now that a natural response to being in the midst of that beauty is, are we really going to ruin this for our children, our grandchildren, etc.? Or a better example, that amazing moment when you're holding a newborn infant. I thought of this last week when Jennifer Goldstein was bringing her new baby. And it's this amazing moment of awe, a miracle, this new life. And for me, at least, it's linked with this feeling of, oh my God, I'm responsible for this life. This life is from me, of me, and I have to protect it. It's going to mimic what I do. The good, even the good can make some people anxious. Look at the characters of Scripture today. Isaiah, the good king has died, King Uzziah, he's been a good king, he's been stable. And Isaiah gives glory to God in this moment, reminds himself of God's glory, holy, holy, holy. And what does he do next? He says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. There's this shame somehow. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians in the epistle today, I am the least of the apostles. I was a persecutor of the church. And Peter in the gospel, right, in the boat, he has this terrible night of fishing, doesn't catch anything. Jesus asks to use the boat to preach to the crowd, right? By the way, there's nothing there about the content of his preaching teaching. It's a little warning to preachers, I think. But afterwards, he says to Peter, let's go out and catch some fish. And Peter's the fisherman. He's, no, we didn't catch anything all night, but if you want to embarrass yourself, fine. So they go out, and we know what happens, right? Two boats are near capsizing because of all the fish. And what does Peter do? Does he celebrate? Does he say, yes, 2 weeks of work and one outing? No, he says, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. Leave me. And so there's that shame. And what does Jesus say to him? He's echoing the angels. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He doesn't say you're silly to be afraid. He doesn't say you're stupid to be afraid. But he says, do not be afraid. Goodness is the point. The same process happens with Isaiah and Paul. The seraph touches Isaiah's mouth and says, your burden, your guilt is lifted. Your sin is gone. And so he's able to respond. And when God says, who will I send? Send me. I'm renewed. And Paul says, do not believe in vain. I was the violent persecutor, but look at me now. God's grace has not been in vain. I am a changed man. Goodness humbled me, and I responded, and I'm uplifted. So yes, we can question God's personnel committee in terms of choosing leaders. Abraham and Sarah, an infertile couple, becomes the forebears of a nation. Arrogant and dream-filled Joseph becomes the practical businessman and saves two nations from starvation. The murderer Moses becomes the giver of the law. A proud, devious, murderous, adulterer David becomes the model for great spiritual leadership, and on through the ages, all the way to us. And yet, all those people stared shame and fear in the face, felt convicted, and yet didn't stop there. They saw beyond the face of God. They saw beyond the face of love, the face of forgiveness, and new life. So yes, human beings can be messed up. But the illuminating part of today's reading is that it doesn't matter how messed up we are. God calls us. God calls you. Each and every day, you're still called, like Isaiah and Paul and Peter, to use your own free will to respond to that call. In order to save what is good, in order to sustain what is good, to further what is good within you and around you, with others, beyond you, you are called to be a disciple of change. You are called to be a student of good, simply because love is better, simply because forgiveness is healing, simply because compassion is reconciling. You are called to wake up and believe in the good news by participating in the good news. Love, compassion, reconciliation, and justice. In other words, we're called to a powerful sacramental life. Let me read to you a verse that we'll sing as we gather around the table today that links our worship with our lives. Turn our worship into witness in the sacrament of life. Send us forth to love and serve you, bringing peace where there is strife. Give us, Christ, your great compassion to forgive as you forgave. May we still behold your image in the world you died to save. So Paul says, I am what I am, but God's grace has not been in vain. And we can say the same thing about our own lives. Our lives are a testament. As you may know, the vestry is reading Richard Rohr's book, The Naked Now, taking turns, various vestry people talking about chapters. And Diane Guinta did a wonderful job this month talking about a couple chapters. And she lifted up Rohr's talk of the third eye, the symbol of the third eye, if you will. So it's a symbol of the spiritual life and a different way of seeing. Just like he says, we have two eyes and our brain pulls the vision of those two eyes into one vision. So too, spiritually, we're invited to be integrators, to be unifiers, to take divisiveness and move beyond it, including our own inner confliction, to find the naked now, to find God's presence in that new vision, in that new vision which sees commonality, which unifies and brings people together, that the kingdom is now, as Jesus says, beyond shame, beyond guilt, beyond fear, to a place of openness. Rohr says, faith is about opening up, and love is allowing ourselves to be filled up with good from outside of ourselves. And hope is holding on, even if it's for a long time. So today's readings are about practicing this process, practicing this opening, this crossing, this surrender. And so it gives appropriate meaning to practice, because practice doesn't make perfect, but practice, an enduring practice, makes better. So that's the freedom, and that's the liberty that we prayed about at the beginning of the service today. Help us practice hope. Help us practice change. Help us practice love. Help us practice compassion. Help us to be a sacrament, an outward invisible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Let us shine in that way. Give us, Christ, your great compassion to forgive as you forgave. May we still behold your image in the world you died to save. Indeed, let us practice. In the name of Christ, amen.